It's March here on the Sports Bar Podcast, and it's March there for all of you listening. Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. He's Scott Manzi as I cheers him through the camera. I'm Alex Turco, and we're back in the saddle in our mobile Ice Mule Cooler studios. Scott, I got to start right off the bat with a quick question for you. Were you surprised with the J.J. Watt to the Cardinals thing? I know typically I'll open up and preview a couple different things, but I've been so busy I barely had a chance to catch headlines. I saw that come through. I was like, the Cardinals?
I'll just leave it here. On Twitter, Andy Staples with the comment of the day said, and I thought you folks said that Cliff Kingsbury couldn't recruit any playmakers on the defensive side of the ball.
That's great. Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, maybe a little surprised because, like, it's not like free agents routinely show up in Arizona, but hey, yeah, good for him. Should help the Cardinals. Makes the West even more interesting next year.
Why not? Why not? That West, that's a fun division, assuming Russell Wilson stays in it. And who knows what's going on there? Could just be typical offseason drama, but hey, I'm here for it. I like that kind of stuff. Just like you grew up. I never grew up. I still love mock drafts. You're over mock drafts. Now you're like, oh, that's bullshit. That's silly. No, man, that's fun. It is the male soap opera that I signed up for, and it makes it a year-long soap opera, whereas it's not just seasonal, and I love that about it. But today, we're not so much diving into J.J. Watt. We're not so much diving into football, although we know that's our bread and butter. That's what we love. But our number two sport, I think I speak for both of us here, is basketball, and we got a lot of it coming up. We teased it a little bit last week during our most random episode of all time. I had a blast last week just shooting the shit with you, and it was super random. Our listeners, I have some people that reached out and loved it. Other people I didn't hear from, so I assume they loved it.
Yeah, shout out Mr. Yoakum, former teacher of ours that found the show and enjoyed it too. So how about that?
That's right. Loved Mr. Yoakum's class always. Kenny wasn't the same without him. He let me hold the camera and film some football in the beginning of my attempts of a media career that I now
look where you are now.
Now I'm just working it with you. It did lead me to Rivals.com on my shirt, though.
Nice.
Did have a brief stint there. But I say all of that to bring us back to basketball. It's March. I led the show with it's March for the listeners.
This is March
for us. You already talked about it. John Rothstein's fired up, and he always is excited for this time of year. And it feels like COVID cannot stand in our way this year from a totality effect that it had last year, kind of shutting things down completely.
Yeah, right.
But this year might derail it a little bit. But where are we starting, Scott? I mean, it's got to be basketball today.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. You follow John Rothstein on Twitter, right? So you probably noticed in the course of from November until now, right? He tweets out like every day, like the list of the programs that are on pause or done or whatever. I'm a little concerned about his math because he's always like 97% or 98% of programs are active. Well, he's refused to acknowledge that my employer is shut down due to COVID and will not be playing any more basketball this year. And I don't know why he won't put us on the list. I'm almost more upset. I mean, tongue in cheek, but I'm almost more upset that like, we're not even getting the Rothstein shout out at least for the season ending in this case. And
you're going to have to add him.
He got added by Mia O'Brien of First Coast News on Saturday and just blew through the stop sign. So I don't know. He is, like you said, he is so focused on the final product that I'm not even sure he's even remotely worried. That might be a scheduled tweet that goes out the same every day at this point in time. But here we are. We're in the final stretch, the home stretch, if you will. The calendar is rolled to March. This is March. We sleep in May. We have gotten to the point where we have entered college basketball tournament time for the mid-major conferences starting up this week. Because of some of the weird schedules this year, actually, like the Horizon League started randomly last Friday, and then because of testing, they had to wait to move to a different location, and now they'll start back up on Wednesday. But that's just 20 20 to 2021 in a nutshell.
What did
right
moving
there.
Locations solve?
Well, because they played at campus sites for the first round, and then they go to a host site that hosts all of them for the remaining rounds. And
so they gave them a little time in between travel.
So they,
okay.
Right, exactly. To make sure, because you got to send the test offs to a lab and get them, you know, all that jazz. But anyway, basically we're here. We've got smaller conference tournaments starting this week. The big boys start middle of the week next week. Selection Sunday is in our sights. We're less than 2 weeks away now. It is very exciting at this point in time. What I want to get started off with was both of our teams played big games on Saturday afternoon / evening. And we'll start with the Florida State Seminoles, who we sung the praises of going on this program last week and have throughout much of the season. But they, as you thought, would play a tough one against North Carolina. They blow a double-digit lead that they held in the first half and end up falling on the road in the Dean Dome, a place that is it's just a very difficult place for Florida State to win over the years. Only one win since, what was it, like 2001 in the Dean Dome, I think it is?
Tough spot to play. Carolina also, as I mentioned to you last week, was going to be hungry and just lost to Marquette. They had a lot going on as far as resume building. It was time for them to get a statement win. And these days, let's face it, Florida State's a statement win.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
By the way, I'm in Carolina blue right now. I really regret my outfit.
Wow. And I'm the one with the Florida State koozie. So, I mean,
wow.
Geez.
Yeah, I've completely jumped ship.
Yeah. Well, you wore pit gear. You wore pit gear earlier this year.
That was after football. I've completely given up hope on our football team until they reel me back in and really earn it. I'm just going to wear opposing team's colors every week.
That's fair.
Minus orange and blue.
All right. That's fair. All right. But are you at all concerned by the play of that game? I mean, what the only thing that stood out to me watching that one was there seems to be this, like you just mentioned it, Marquette comes down to the Dean Dome. Marquette is a bottom of the barrel Big East team this year. Not very good. And they come in and beat North Carolina, who then turn around and beat Florida State. Like, I get it. I mean, it happens. But at the same time, like, that has me almost slightly worried that this year's college basketball season, similar to football, right? Because there wasn't a whole lot of non-conference, that we've entered into this echo chamber where it's like, well, they must be good because they're beating blank and then they're beating blank. But are any of these teams all that good? I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll find out in March when it comes down to it in the tournament, that is. But that was the only concern I had where like Florida State still seems, as talented as they are, as dominant as they've been at times, they just seem gettable on any given night.
A lot of teams have seemed that way. Baylor just got beat by Kansas this weekend. We just saw Villanova lose to
Butler.
I mean, there's other schools in the country that are having the same issue. Now, that's a preface to me saying Florida State did show me again after Georgia Tech. I thought the same thing that I do today after North Carolina. I don't want to knee-jerk something when I projected it to be a close game. And I projected it to potentially be a loss. We talked about that. But when you're up 16 in the second half and you lose, it's now how you lost.
Right.
And this team doesn't lack character. They don't lack effort. They don't lack coaching. I get all that. But they're very gettable, Scott. They are not consistent enough from an ability to just take over on when there's a drought. They don't have someone that can just get hot like that. Sometimes they're all hot. And sometimes they have a guy that's hot, Raekwon Gray, MJ Walker, Shadar Calhoun off the bench. I mean, these are guys that are spark plugs in moments, but when they need someone to score, all of a sudden everyone tightens up, and it looks like no one can hit a big shot. And listen, I think Florida State's a really good team. I still think they're an Elite 8 team. I really do. Especially when they're doubted, they'll play even harder, and they will come out and – look really good in the ACC tournament after waxing Boston College Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whenever we play him, Notre Dame to end the season. Right. We're going to shit kick both those teams. I'm not worried about that. Come ACC tournament, you're going to be impressed and we're all going to start feeling positive again. But I just think this team has a deficiency of having a killer. They got a lot of good players, and they're well-rounded, and they're deep, but they don't have a killer.
All right. That's a valid point, I think, in the fact that the only concern I have is, like, a lot of times in March, right, like that team that has that dude that can get the ball in crunch time and produce. Like, I know the best example, the most obvious example would be the two UConn title, most recent UConn titles, like Kemba or Shabazz Napier.
Kemba, I mean, back then. Yeah.
Those guys just needed the ball in their hands, and they were able to get it done no matter what, whereas, you know, is that something that exists for a team like Florida State? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, other teams lose in situations like this to teams they shouldn't lose to. That's college basketball. Mm. It just takes one to two guys on a team that shouldn't beat you to get hot to where you're going to lose no matter who you are, because that's just basketball. But they have to have a killer come tournament time if you want to win a ring.
So you feel, and rightly so, completely confident that they'll finish things off at 12-3 and win another ACC regular season championship. Right now have a, I don't even know how that, what does that amount to, one game lead or a game and a half
over
lead
Virginia?
On Virginia? They're 12 yeah. and four. They
have a loss again last week. Yeah. So I think
they have a
19
point win percentage differential. So yeah.
Yeah. If we win out, I know for a fact that Florida State will win the regular season for the second straight year, which is a phenomenal feat and should not be taken lightly. That is a big time feat in the ACC. This year it's down. I get that, but it's very important to note this team is a basketball powerhouse right now, and they may not win the national title. I don't think they'll go to the Final Four. Like I said, it's an Elite Eight type team, but they are really good, and I promise you no one wants to play them.
Yeah, and nobody's going to remember. The banner's just going to be flying in the rafters. Nobody's going to remember whether or not the ACC was down that year in a couple of years. Leonard Hamilton locked up on a five-year extension today. He'll coach through the end of the contract. He'd be 76 years old when it runs out. You know, it's so funny because here's a guy who, I mean, not that it works this way for everybody, but it is nice to see a testament to patience pay off in the what have you done for me lately world of college athletics and athletics in general. And for Leonard, who took over for Steve Robinson a long time ago now, what was that, 2001-ish, I think?
Or 2004. Could be 2001. It's been that long, though. I mean, we're looking at...
It was early 2000s, and some... Whatever, there were lean years. They were just okay in the beginning. Had a couple players. Finally starts making NCAA tournaments in the 08-09 season. Had a couple of years there in the middle, a couple of hiccup years after the Sweet 16 run of 2011. But then, man, ever since then, a couple of high seeds, some big-time players, and they have really turned into a really, really impressive group. And I mean, I remember a little less than 10 years ago, people were calling for his head and said it had gotten stale and it was all over. But he had a couple of opportunities to make some coaching adjustments due to some guys moving on and made some really good hires. And I think that has helped a lot.
Yeah, he's been there since 2002. Just looked it up. So you were all around it. You were closest to the pin.
Yep.
So we'll give you that honor. But he's done such a great job, and I'm happy again to see, like you just said, happy to see him be rewarded for being a true Seminole. And the fan base wanted him out, and he was able to overcome that and make something of this program and turn it into a legit powerhouse, like I said earlier.
Well, you may have been wallowing in your sorrows on Saturday evening and not flipped over to Fox to watch the second half of the Creighton-Xavier game from the Cintas Center. But Xavier comes away with a big-time win, a much-needed win, just their second since coming off of their second COVID break, the other one being over a Butler team that I know just beat Villanova, but that was only their ninth win of the year. They're not very good at all. So really a good win against the unquestioned second-best team in the Big East. And that win was good enough, according to Joe Lunardi on Monday, to have Xavier as one of the last four in the field. And hoping that this is a group that is starting to figure it out. They're running with some young guys. It's almost the opposite of some of these other teams we've seen. at this point in the year, right? Like that have like leaned on veteran experience and things like that. It's been the growth of some of these young guys, Colby Jones, Dwan Odom, who really rose up and performed in a big way on Saturday to help Xavier out. And then Zach Fremantle and Paul Scruggs have been pretty consistent all season long. But I'm hoping that this team is kind of turning the corner. I mean, it was brutal. They lose one of their better players, one of their starters. He suffers an injury, officially announced out for the season on Saturday, 30 minutes before tip, or maybe a little longer than that. But then they come out right after it without him and are able to find a way to win a game. So it feels like this season is not the year to have a handful of true freshmen and maybe a true sophomore carry you, but that seems like the best case scenario almost right now for this Xavier group that is still trying to figure out its true identity, and it is getting late in the season. Hopefully they can figure it out here down the stretch, but they got a kind of a not quite similar to Florida State, where it's just like a layup schedule here to end. Georgetown coming up this week, and then one more against...
Who's Georgetown's coach right now?
Patrick Ewing.
Still?
Yeah.
He hadn't done anything there.
Yeah, but he's Patrick Ewing. He's a legend, so they're not going to run him out of town.
No, I know. It's just...
I know what you mean. I mean...
I just expect that. That is a... It's a big-name school.
I know.
And a big-name coach.
They haven't been good in a while. They have not been.
Long time.
And Marquette, actually. Georgetown, and then... So Tuesday, Georgetown, Marquette, Saturday... have wins already over them, so hopefully can complete the sweep. Marquette, actually a dramatic win to open up Big East play way back at the end of December. But I just want to see – number one, I want to see an NCAA tournament this year. Number two, I want to see an NCAA tournament where Xavier's back in it, because it just doesn't feel right if they're not – I mean, they've only missed it 1 year, technically. We don't know what would have happened last year. They're right on the bubble.
Having a dog in the fight is so fun that – that anxious feeling you get, yeah, knowing you either win or you lose right there. The tournament's going on no matter what. Like, moving forward, whether you win in advance or not, the tournament will still be happening next week. And it's an uncomfortable feeling knowing your team might be out.
It's a fun uncomfortability though, because like there's that lead up and you're reading into the opponent and you're like reading all the articles you can and getting fired up and listening to you know, radio shows and podcasts or whatever, and hoping they mention your team's name, stuff like that. And, you know, we grew up Florida State basketball fans, which, as I just talked about a few moments ago, lean years for much of it. I mean, Florida State was good when I was a little kid, and then they were not good for the majority of my adolescence. And like, I went to college. I mean, I didn't have a team to root for in an NCAA tournament that was truly my own until my freshman year of college. Florida State was never in there when I was old enough to comprehend. And then like Florida State started making it too. And I was, you know, still like rooting for them as long as they're not playing Xavier, which unfortunately has happened too many times, twice, and almost happened a third time. We were matched up on the same side of the bracket until Florida State got upset in the first round by Wisconsin. But there's just this, I've now been spoiled. It's like, okay, now there's always a team to root for. And when they're not there, like, I don't know what to do type deal. So, I'm just hoping to see that bracket come out. The one thing I'm leaning on kind of here, 2017, Xavier was quote unquote the last team in the field, and they went to the Elite Eight that year. So maybe, you know, maybe there's a precedent.
Yeah, Scott, you're really grasping for straws here.
I'm grasping.
I like it. Hey, the positivity of the mindset during this tournament is really that anything can happen. It's easy to grasp for that and say, well, anything can happen, and no one can doubt that. Everyone's going to sit back and be like, well, I mean, that is true. We've seen Lehigh upset people. They upset Duke a while back, right?
Yeah, well, they had CJ McCollum. That helped a lot.
Yeah.
Guy's a pretty good player.
Well, that's what I said in the beginning of this podcast. If you have one guy that's legit and is hot, you can beat anyone.
Kemba effect, as we said.
Yep.
All right. What do you say we hit pause on our basketball discussion here? We'll come back to it on the other side as we get ready to talk some tournament stuff. And let's slide into a couple of segments here, because I got a few things I'd like to bring up. First and foremost, we got a shout out, Ice Mule Coolers. As always, we are coming to you from the Mobile Ice Mule Cooler Studios. get ready for March Madness, get ready for warmer weather. Hey, hopefully some of you people, you know, we just got another vaccine approved officially on Monday. So maybe that means that we're going to see more
of this
stuff.
That's a one-shot vaccine.
And a one-shotter.
Baby.
So that maybe that means we're all a little bit closer to getting to the other side and getting together and watching more games and stuff like that. We can only hope. But you're going to want your ice meal cooler, whether you're watching games alone, the fridge is too far away, or you're watching with friends. And
Scott, I'm no chump. I had my ice meal cooler out yesterday. I was out front with the kids and I was like, you know what? The fridge is too far away. I got to keep an eye on these kids while I sit here and watch the race at the neighbor's house. We drank beer and the kids played in the hose. It was perfect.
Perfect. Well, you'll want to use the promo code SportsBar15 at checkout. 15% off that ice mule cooler purchase. Speaking of NASCAR and the race, Homestead, Miami this weekend, third straight Florida track, third straight new winner this year. And William Byron racks up his first non-plate track victory for Hendrick Motorsports. And the guy who finished second, Tyler Reddick, he was driving the heck out of his car those final few laps. I don't think anybody had a better car than him for the final, say, 15 or 20 laps. But he just ran out of time to run down William Byron. And I've never seen a guy, I mean, Tyler Reddick's not exactly like Kevin Harvick or Denny Hamlin here. He's a young guy. He's had a lot of success at the Xfinity Series, not a ton of success at the Cup Series yet. And he looked like he just lost his dog when they're interviewing him after the race for coming in second. And I was like, oh, this guy is despondent right now. And they ask him about it. They're like, hey, you know, driving well, you finished second. Well, you know, how'd you feel that it ran today? And he's like, you know, we drove it hard late, finishing second. It's great, but it's not driving the Cheddar's Scratch Kitchen Chevrolet to Checkers means I cost a lot of people in America free chicken tenders on Monday.
Wow, what a legend. Hey, man, this guy grew up watching Ricky Bobby. There's almost no doubt. If you ain't first, you're last.
I guess so. But, like, he was number one sad because he didn't win. No, like one, he was sad he didn't win. 1A was he was sad because people couldn't get free chicken tenders today at Cheddar's Scratch Kitchen.
You know what, though? No one is better at plugging their sponsors than besides you, Scott, with Ice Mule Cooler Studios. But outside of the Sports Bar podcast, no one in the profession of sports or in general is better at plugging sponsors than NASCAR drivers.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
100%.
It's unbelievable.
And honestly, there is not a single sport where I really give two shits about post-game interviews or comments or anything like that, except NASCAR. I never turn the race off when it's over because, like, post-race interviews are unquestionably the best because most of the time they're unfiltered. The drivers don't care. Like, they'll say stuff. Like, they'll call people out. Like, it is there's no political correctness the way you get in other sports where people are like, hey, give the other team credit. They played hard. Like, you're never going to get that hardly in NASCAR. And you're going to get some funny sponsor references like the one we got there. So that was the NASCAR quote of the week. Maybe it'll be a recurring segment. Maybe it won't be. New segment debuted today. And I just heard that last night and I was like, this is too good. Next up, we've got a Waller of the week.
Good. It's been a while. Everyone's been behaving.
Been a few weeks, but we've got one who's probably, I mean, if you were betting in Vegas on him eventually getting this award, his odds would have been, you wouldn't have made much money on this one. We'll put it that way. He was probably like 3-1. Dan Dockich of ESPN, college basketball analyst, also hosts a radio show in Indianapolis, former Indiana basketball player, former Indiana basketball interim coach for a couple of weeks after Kelvin Sampson got fired, former Bowling Green head coach who infamously took the West Virginia job for like a week and then rescinded on it. So he's a guy who I really like as an analyst because I think he's another one of those guys who will tell it like it is. Like, he's not sitting there like trying to be like, oh, that's my bud over there on the sideline, so I'm never going to question a play call or anything like that. Like, he speaks from the heart, and I think you get some honest analysis from him. And he obviously understands the game. He's coached and played at a high level. He's a little more of embraces that provocateur role on his radio show and especially on Twitter. He's like definitely one of those guys who searches his name all the time and then quote tweets people who are not tagging him, who just type in Dan Dockich. He's like one of those people.
So which, Kevin Durant's burners. The way Kevin Durant's burner accounts does it.
Yeah, but doesn't use a burner. Just uses his actual account.
Just straight up hunting.
Yeah. So his latest one, and this is not why I made him Waller of the Week. He got into a spat over the Jalen Johnson opt-out. There was a couple of professors out there that have been, I think they actually work at Duke, that have been like really speaking about how, speaking out about how it's not healthy that like college basketball media people are saying that he quit and stuff like that because we don't know the full story. All right, that's fine. I guess you're a little bit right. We potentially don't know some of the details of the story there. There could be more to it, but he also cleared out his locker and left in the middle of a season. Like by definition, that's quitting. Dokic was sitting there ranting about that. It somehow turned into player compensation stuff. It was a classic, like, nobody's right, everybody's slightly wrong scenario here, where everybody's sort of wearing a little egg on their face. So he ends up, for some reason, deleting his Twitter account on Sunday, about halfway through the day. The rest of college basketball Twitter dances on his grave. I mean, they were just like, Twitter got better today. This is the greatest thing that has happened. It's like one of them was you know, say what you will about Dan Dokic and his Twitter account, but the one thing you have to admit is Dan Dokic is a huge asshole who uses his Twitter account for bad. You know, it's constantly things like this. So he comes back today. He's back. So people were speculated that he got suspended or shut down, stuff like that. No, he tweets a 2-part tweet. First tweet was, I was sitting in church yesterday and I heard a sermon. And a voice in my head said, get off Twitter. And so I immediately after church researched how to deactivate my Twitter and was given two options, 6 months or 12 months. Second tweet, I'm back. I chose the 12 months, but I couldn't stay away. Too many stories to tell, too many facts to get right, stuff like that. So he should have just selected the 12-hour button if there had been one of those, because he goes to church.
I love how he brings up how God tells him, essentially saying God came to him to get off Twitter, but then he is now going against God when he brought God into it. No one else brought God into it him. He's like, listen, God told me to get off Twitter. I have to do it, but I'm back.
Yeah. Listen.
Disregard what God said. I'm a church-going man, but I'm going to disregard what God said.
I consider myself a man of faith, and that's a deep drive to left field by Castellanos.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was a apology. I'm changing my ways, but actually, I'm not. I mean, he basically did like the old penance trick. The say 3 Hail Marys and 4 Our Fathers, and you're good to go. He must have done that one.
Yeah, he's like, I got a clean bill now. I'm set.
Well, for those that were rejoicing over Dan Dokic being off of Twitter, I wasn't necessarily one of them, but he's back. So, and for the weirdest reason of all time, Dokic, your Waller of the Week this week. All right, let's. With that, a perfect segue back into college basketball. And I want to bring up, I brought it up earlier, the smaller leagues are starting their tournaments this week. The Ohio Valley starts this week. The Big South started actually Monday night on campus sites, and then they'll resume later on when they get to a little closer to their championship. Missouri Valley's this week, the A-Suns this week. Later in the week, the Sun Belt, the SoCon, the Colonial, and so on. We haven't had a Turco trifecta here since football season ended. And I know that this isn't exactly your wheelhouse, but I think you got to knock the rust off before we get to next week when the big boys get going and you'll have something going for us.
I'm looking at it right now because I'm just nervous. This isn't my, like you said, this isn't my bread and butter. It's not my wheelhouse. So I'm going to have to do my best here.
Okay. How do we want to do this? You want to pick 3 of these smaller conference tournaments and pick a champion? You want to go champion dark horse in each of them? I don't know. What do you want to do here?
All right, there's a lot. Do you want me to do, are you going to select a couple?
Yeah, I'll pick I'll pick a couple leagues. Let's go. All right,
do that.
Let's go Missouri Valley. That's a pretty popular one. Of course, it's got 2 of the better mid-major teams in Loyola Chicago and Drake that just played a couple of well-fought battles what was that, 2 weeks ago now, I believe. They affectionately call their tournament Arch Madness because they play in St. Louis. And
here it is, Arch Madness.
Yeah, so
presented by State Farm.
Yeah, there you go. Nice sponsor drop there, Mr. NASCAR guy.
You like that?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so it gets started up on Thursday, so that gives us a little time to turn this thing around and give some people some time to play some bets in. So that's some opening round games. Your one seed Loyola Chicago, the Ramblers, remembered well from their Final Four run of a few years ago. The two seed
and,
Drake.
Sister Ann. She's
and Sister
kicking.
Jean. Sister Jean.
Oh, yeah. Jean Ann, guaranteed.
Yeah. Also known as Sister Meme by Tate Frazier of One Shining Podcast, Titus and Tate, like T-Dub. Yeah, because she can't stay away from the spotlight, Sister Meme.
Well, you're calling this 98-year-old lady a thirst trapper?
101 or something? Yeah, no, she's even older. Yeah.
She's thirst trapping hard?
According to Tate, yes.
Yeah.
All right, your top two seeds, Loyola Chicago, Drake, Missouri State, the 3, Indiana State, the 4. Do you see anybody outside of that? Bradley and UNI, two traditionally good teams in this league, are sitting down there as the 7 and 8 seeds. I don't know. Maybe there are teams that could put together a little run in this thing or something. But Bradley, I don't know. They were pesky earlier this year when they almost beat Xavier. Apparently, not that pesky. They finished 12-15 and 6-12.
So earlier this year, I watched Drake lose to Loyola by 100. And then the next day, for some reason, they played back-to-back days. Drake won.
Yeah, so yeah, how the tournament went. Yeah, or the season went. We played it the same way. A lot of the smaller leagues did that, back-to-backs. Reduced travel.
Okay. All right, Scott. Well, I mean, now you just completely discredited my knowledge. So
I'm just filling you in. That's important.
So because of that one game, yep. I'm taking Drake to win it all.
Okay, Drake. Drake to win Arch Madness. That is
it over Loyola.
Yeah. Do you know the nickname of Drake?
No, I have no idea. I don't even know where they are.
They're in Des Moines, Iowa.
Are they?
Yeah.
Great, great little town.
Yeah. Used to be in the same league, or football wise, as JU. So I used to go there like every other year.
I'm sure you're devastated you can't make more return trips to Des Moines.
Yeah, very, very devastated. Very devastated.
All right, get me out of the Missouri Valley.
Okay, next. Sorry, my thing backed out on me. ESPN app messing with me a little bit here. All right.
So you know, next week,
yep.
for our podcast, I'm having us fill out brackets.
Yep.
For all of the conference.
Did we do this last year? I think we did this last year, didn't we?
No, did we?
I'm pretty sure
we just picked. No, we just picked winners.
We just picked winners? I thought we filled out
brackets. Yeah, we're doing brackets.
Okay, we'll do full brackets.
The conference tournaments. Just me and you.
Yep.
Other people can join. I don't care. But not for money. Just me and you figuring it out. Maybe we will do I've been begging you to take me on a basketball date for, I think, a year and a half now. Me and you go drink midday beers and just have a day and just watch tournament basketball. Okay. Oh, we were going to last year, but COVID ruined it. That's what it was.
Ruined it.
So you didn't bail.
I didn't bail. It wasn't me. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Cut me some slack.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, what conference are we going to?
All right, let's go to the Ohio Valley.
It's a good one. That's a good one, just like the Mayan calendar or Roman calendar.
Yep, so it gets started on Wednesday, runs through Saturday championship. Your one seed, the Belmont Bruins, under the leadership of Casey Alexander in his second year. The two seed, Morehead State, the Eagles, out of Morehead, Kentucky. Your three seed, Eastern Kentucky, the Colonels, future A-Sun Conference members. And then your four seed, Jacksonville State, the Gamecocks, also future A-Sun Conference members. Anybody else outside of that? Murray State, former home of...
John Morant.
Yeah, John Morant. Man, blanked on his name.
Yeah, it's
John Morant.
Florida State had to whip that ass and send him out of the tournament a couple years ago.
After he dropped a triple-double on Marquette in the first round.
I mean, that's what we do, though. We just end dreams for all. Last year, we would have won a ring, so I'm gonna UCF that and claim a title. But, Scott, I actually don't think Belmont's the team to watch here. They've lost two straight. I don't like teams that aren't hot at the right time. We talked about this.
Fair.
Morehead, four game win streak. I like that a lot. Guess all who right. else is on a win streak? Eastern Kentucky University.
Okay.
Is that what EKU is?
Yeah. Eastern okay. Kentucky University. Okay. Out of Richmond, Kentucky.
That's right. The Colonels.
Colonels.
I know. I'm kidding.
Okay. I was like, didn't you ever play Clue, man?
Yeah. Come on. No, I had that one. I'm messing with you. And then also, another team on a win streak is the Jacksonville State Gamecocks.
Okay.
I like one of those three teams to come out. And, yeah, I think I'm going to go Eastern Kentucky. It just feels like a number three seed kind of conference.
All right. That is put it in the books. Eastern Kentucky, Alex's choice.
I mean, they're experienced. They're 21-6, 9-4 away. They don't mind leaving their home, man. They'll go kick some ass on the road, okay? I've been
to that, quick side story. I've been to that gym. We played Eastern Kentucky in basketball at JU a couple of years ago. And we had a game that had a Chris Webber moment. You know, the timeout when they're out of timeouts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
So their guard was being trapped in late in the second half or overtime, trapped near the sideline. And he turns and calls timeout and gets teed up. And I go, he tries to call timeout. They're out of timeouts. Technical foul. Technical foul. The famous Woody Durham call.
Yeah.
And which is the North Carolina play-by-play guy who had the call in that game as they ended up losing to North Carolina, partially because of that play, but really they would have probably won anyway. But yeah, that was a moment where I was like, wow, I didn't think I'd ever see this in person, like a guy call a timeout and get it teed up.
Yeah.
In a late game situation, that was exciting. All right. Let's do one more.
Quick on the call.
I was quick on the call,
which is good. You got it.
All right, one more. Let's do the A-Sun, taking place right here in Jacksonville, Florida, starting up on Thursday, running through Sunday. Your one seed is the Liberty Flames, who have won this league the last 2 years. Won the tournament the last 2 years, won the league regular season title the last 2 years in a row now, counting this year. The two seed is the Bellarmine Knights of Louisville, Kentucky, who are not eligible for the NCAA tournament. They are a first-year Division I program, and they have played very well in their first year at the D1 level. The three seed, the Lipscomb Bisons, they went to the NCAA tournament a few years back. The four seed is the local North Florida Ospreys. JU not playing in the tournament. COVID. Team is shut down. Unfortunately, season is over. What are you thinking there?
Lipscomb is not the one seed?
No, Liberty's the one. Lipscomb is the three.
Oh, there they are. Yes. Yeah, I mean, this is your conference. So JU's not playing, huh?
Nope. And because of that, Kennesaw State got there was going to be a playing game, and then now the playing game won't happen, and it's just the top eight seeds like every other year that are playing. Starting on Thursday.
We're looking at a 9-game win streak here for Liberty. That's kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah.
So you know my logic. I like hot teams. Here we go. They're talking about consistent 9 straight wins here.
And they just beat Bellarmine last weekend to claim the regular season championship. It was a one-off there. So, yeah, I don't blame you. Liberty feels like they're the pick. They're a veteran team. They got some of the best players in the league, and they've been there before, and a lot of times that helps. All right, we're going to put these out on a graphic. We're going to tweet them out. It's Alex's mid-major trifecta for the Missouri Valley, the Ohio Valley, and the A-Sun Conference. Just a little warm-up, if you will, an appetizer.
I'd agree with that. That's what this is. It's really it's like a good stretch.
What's the appetizer before the appetizer? Because, like, next week's the appetizer.
It's an antipasta.
The antipasta. Okay, I like that. Nice.
It's the antipasta, all right, Scotty. All right.
We're getting the antipasta out, and then we're going to have... And then we're bringing out the pasta, and then the meats, and then at the end of it, we'll have the wine. And
And then the wine with the cheese. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to end with wine and cheese.
Well, this is almost just like the first beer of the day, right? Like, you've cracked the first one. It hits a little differently. There's no effects yet, right? Like, it's just the first beer. Like, there's no buzz, there's no great feeling quite yet, but
besides euphoria.
Right. So, like, yeah, okay. When you turn on the Missouri Valley Championship this weekend, or the Ohio Valley Championship this weekend, and you've got an eye on that now that you've got a dog in the fight, you're going to be like, hey, man, we got a little championship atmosphere here. This is the first taste of it. So I'm hoping that everybody else is able to enjoy a little bit of that as well this weekend.
It's the same reason that I do a bowl pool every year in a bracket. I need a dog in the fight.
Yep. Makes it fun. All right. Next week, Alex and I will be filling out our brackets. We'll be bringing back more of the trifecta as we get into the big boy conference tournaments next week, as we are less than 2 weeks from Selection Sunday. And man, it's one of those where you're like, it's so close I can taste it, but I just don't want to get out over my skis because I'm afraid, because I was burned, you know, like I was burned last year. I don't want to get burned
that
again
hurt.
This year.
That it really hurt.
It hurt a
talking,
lot.
Talking about your boy Reddick in NASCAR thinking that he lost a dog. Yeah. That's what last year felt like.
Certainly did. I recorded a video and I think I posted it to Twitter. What would have been the opening Thursday. And so I just played like the March Madness theme song.
I remember.
And
that.
Then I was just like, oh. And then that was it.
It hurts. It's
like, yeah. Well, you know what? We're almost there, Alex. We're almost there. Back to one of the best sporting events. We've ramped things up. We got a football season in. We've gotten most of, we finished in NBA playoffs. We've really had every moment except for the crowning of a college basketball champion in the last year. We had a World Series champion. We've had a Super Bowl now in the COVID era. The only thing we're missing is a chance to crown a college basketball champion. And hopefully we'll be doing that in about a month's time. But,
and Alabama's running full stadiums next year, they said.
Yeah.
Packed house.
First of all, it's like, is that too soon? But remember, no one admitted that we weren't going to have like people in stadiums until the last possible second, like in the fall this year. Like everybody was like, hey, I think we might. Okay, no, the season starts next week. We're going to have to go limited capacity.
Yeah,
if anybody at all.
Well, each week they were like making it, they were pushing slightly back the deadline to make the decision. It's like, it's okay just to say that it's too soon. We can't get it all filled out yet.
And that's okay. That's basically what they're doing now, except that they're promising something they might not be able to keep. But who knows? Who knows? Hopefully.
That's what COVID's been, though, because no one cares if they're wrong. They're just like, sorry, COVID, you know, we can't do it.
Hey, I hope they're right. I hope it's safe to put people in.
Johnson & Johnson with the one-shot kill, man. 85%. Let's take it.
Put it in my arm.
That's good.
Yeah. Keep positive, test negative, and
Stay positive, test negative.
Yeah, there you go. Stay positive, test negative, and give me a shot in the arm, baby. I need it.
Let's do it. So, Scott, are we wrapping up? I have two.
We're wrapping. Yeah.
Okay.
Go. What do you got?
Amos Zeraway. And
that's a good one. Steelers.
That's right. And for basketball purposes, Rashad McCants.
Okay. I'm going Tim Pickett.
Oh. God, those jerseys that Pickett used to wear, those were the all-time best Noles jerseys. The feathering at the collar.
Yes, love those.
Man. Good
love
name, those. Man. Did you have that?
Just
can,
pulled that.
Or just
nope.
came to you?
just pulled that. I'm glad you remembered. I'd already forgotten about the segment. So
no,
I'm
man,
so glad you
favorite.
Remembered. Yeah.
It's the whole reason I even logged on today.
Yeah, good.
I had to tell you Amos Zeraway. And then when I talked about North Carolina colors, I was like, oh, I remember that team with Sean May and Rashad McCants and Felton. And I was like, Rashad McCants. I haven't heard that name in forever. So for about 10, 15 minutes during the show, I was like checking his life. I didn't know he dated Khloe Kardashian.
I didn't either. Rashad McCants, former Timberwolf great.
That's right. Yeah, great. He made it 4 years and then they shipped his ass to Europe.
He's got a ring.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, what do you say? We put a bow on this one. And we reconvene next week. Stay tuned to Twitter, where Alex is, if you've forgotten already, who he likes, or you'd like to call him out for his picks in his mid-major Turco trifecta this week, @sportsbar_pod. Give us a follow, and we put out bonus content there throughout the course
that I just saw the brackets for the first time ever today.
That's fair.
But I like it, man. Scott, it was another good one. And another next week is going to be an absolute blast as we dive in to the major conferences and the tournament. Selection Sunday being right around the corner.
Na 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 na. For Alex, I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.